Hi, folks. It's Scott from buyandselldvc.com. Have you ever thought of giving your family a lifetime of Disney vacations? What if we told you you can lock in today's rate for the next 50 years? Again, that's buyandselldvc.com.
Hello, and welcome to the WDW Review Podcast. I am here with the Royal Court News Review. So I'm Jen Bachman, and I am with my lovely co-hosts, Jenny Berriger and Cindy Ellicott. Hello, ladies.
Good evening.
And we are missing Cassandra Callahan, but she is here in spirit. And I know we've got a lot of great Disney news to cover, so I think we should just jump in and get started. So Jenny, do you want to kick us off with some things you're excited to share?
Sure. One of the things I'm really excited to share is that the magic of Disney's Animal Kingdom season 2 has started filming. Anybody that has Disney Plus, if you have not checked out season 1 yet, oh my gosh, if you're a fan of Animal Kingdom, it is so neat to just kind of watch the behind the scenes stories and things that go into taking care of these animals. And then you go to Animal Kingdom and you get to see the animals. And it's like, hey, I know that, you know, gorilla. So it's really cool. I'm very excited that season 2 has started filming.
Yeah, we love that show at our house. I'm glad you brought up the gorilla because I am so invested in that little gorilla family.
I know, me too.
Cindy, have you seen that as well?
I watched the first season, but I haven't been watching the new season.
Oh, well, okay. It just started filming, so
we'll have to watch together.
Right.
There you go.
I had to go from that into, there's a show on Discovery called The Zoo, which is kind of similar, but it's not Disney, yeah. But that was my substitute while I was waiting for season 2. So excited to hear that. It's going to be out soon. Mm-hmm. All right, Cindy, what do you got for us?
Well, it might seem a little early, but of course, Disney's already talking Halloween. And if you're a Disney fan, Halloween starts in August. So that seems about right. They started promoting Halloween this year with their Halfway to Halloween Eats, Treats, and Halloween specials. It's kind of started in April. Late April, they had some special things, special features, videos, things like that, special treats in the park. And the treats are going to continue, some of them right through till August when the party starts. But the main exciting news last week was when the dates came out, or we were able to start booking tickets and buying tickets and stuff. So basically, it's from August 12th to October 31st. On select nights, ticket prices range from $109 to $199 plus tax. And there is a $10 discount, I think, for annual pass or DVC. And it mentions some of the event highlights, so it's back to being the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Are you guys excited about that?
So I thought about it for a second because we're going to be there in October. And I will say the Oogie Boogie Bash, we did that back in 2019, and that's the one they do in California. And that spoiled us. I don't know that I can go back to Mickey's Not So Scary and pay those prices unless they're going to up their game. So for our family, I think it was like $530 for the night we were going to be there. And I couldn't take the plunge, so I'm going to have to live vicariously through you, Cindy. I know you're going.
Yes, I am, yeah.
I think it's
I'm excited. Jenny.
That's okay. That's my contribution. I think it sounds fun. I don't have plans right now of being there during the time, so.
So in 2019, we went to the Mickey's Not So Scary, and then last year we were at the Boo Bash, and it was a different party, but we mm-hmm. really still enjoyed it. The cadaver dance, singing, things like that. Mm-hmm. So we're looking forward to this year. We're actually down there for my daughter's birthday, August. Mm-hmm. We get down there the 20th. We're going the night of the 23rd. So fairly early on. It won't be too cool at night. And they're going to be back to having all the things that they had at the Mickey's Not So Scary. So the Hocus Pocus Villain Spectacular, the Disney's Not So Spooky Spectacular Fireworks Show, the Disney Junior Jam at Storybook Circus, and the Mickey's Booty You Halloween Parade are all returning this year. So I think that people were made some concerns known to Disney and they listened mm-hmm. and they're bringing back some of the things. The one thing we really enjoy too is seeing the characters and meeting them in their Halloween costumes. And I think that's, and of course the going through and collecting candy is always fun too. So, mm-hmm. so that's exciting.
So Cindy, I've got to ask, are you going to dress up?
We are going as Cinderella and the Fairy Godmother.
Yay. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we can't wait to see pictures.
We've done Marie and Duchess and in 2019. Last year, we just went in pajama. That was the Christmas one. We didn't dress up for the Halloween one, though.
Yeah. The problem I find is it can be so hot that you really have to base your costume on warm weather. But then if you're in October, it's hit or miss at night. So it's yeah. a little bit tricky. Well, I am going to take us all the way across the Pacific Ocean and do a quick update I'm excited about at Aulani. So Auntie's Beach House, which is the kids club for Aulani, is reopening on May 25th. So we went there back at the end of March and that was still closed. And I was a little sad about it. Not that I didn't want to spend time with my kids, but it would have been nice for them to do some activities kind of on their own as well. So they'll be open again, kids ages 5 to 12, and they're doing things, I think, a little bit differently. So you can reserve a playtime between 8 to 2, and they've split Auntie's Beach House into two sides. So there's a complimentary side that they're referring to as Uncle's side. So Uncle is free for whatever reason, and you can reserve a time for your kids for an hour and a half. Or Auntie's side, and that's more of a premium experience, and you can reserve 2 hours over there. And then what they're doing that's brand new is that at night from 4 to 9, they're going to be hosting whole family activities. So they'll have things there like animation classes or ukulele lessons and just a whole bunch of different things that'll be happening there. So you can make reservations through the webpage or by calling Aulani directly. And one thing I noticed that I wanted to just call out is there is a little disclaimer that says that face coverings and temperature checks may be required. So when I was there, they had just done away with a mask mandate and weren't requiring any of that. So I don't know if they put that in there as a just in case or if they're actually going to require those as part of the activity. So that'll be interesting to see once they're open and in full swing.
Excellent.
Yeah. I really want to get out to that resort one day. Like, it's on my bucket list.
We need a Dove's trip.
We do. We do need yeah. a Dove's trip.
Aulani would be excellent. I know you traveled there with your family earlier this year, right, Jen? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of my dream. My sister-in-law is really big into Hawaiian dancing. She actually teaches hula and stuff like that. And I would love to actually take her to Aulani with the kids, my two nieces and my nephew. And I think that would make a great family trip. And I can imagine how much fun it would be with her being able to, the kids do the Hawaiian dancing as well. And I mean, she's really good at it. So it would be pretty entertaining, I think, for them.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on, another cool thing going on right now, back on the East Coast, the Star Wars virtual reality experience is open right now in Disney Springs over on the West Side. And it's free and it's open now through July 21st, from noon until 10 p.m. And it sounds like it's going to be really cool. It's 360-degree views of the Star Wars galaxy. And the adventure is taking place on the outskirts of the Black Spire outpost, which is the island of Batuu. I could be saying it. I mean, the planet, not island. I've got Hawaii on the mind now, Jen. you know, anybody that has experienced Galaxy's Edge is familiar with that planet. And so something free to do without, you know, maybe paying admission to get into Hollywood Studios, but still getting a really cool Star Wars experience. So definitely planning on checking that out when we go to Disney Springs.
Yeah, we were actually able to do that when we went down for Mother's Day weekend. So I say we, I stood in line. I didn't do the experience. My son did. So there was a little bit of a line. We probably waited 30 to 40 minutes, but you can make reservations ahead of time. And that line seemed to move a lot quicker. And it's about just 10 minutes. But what they really haven't been advertising, and I think is a great perk, is they give you a credit for, you can use it for any game for that Oculus, but they give you a credit and it's for the exact price of that specific Star Wars game. And I think the whole game is like 10 hours long. So you walk away being able to purchase that for free. And then on top of that, I don't know if they do this all the time, but they gave us a $5 Disney gift card as well. So that was just a nice perk that I was not expecting.
Oh, that's cool.
Very nice. Yeah. I can see my family enjoying that. That would be something that my daughter would like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We were talking a little bit about the Disney Halloween party and stuff like that that's going on. But one thing that Disney is really quite famous for is the Wish Foundation and having children come to the park, making dreams come true that way, and really a big party for these children that they wouldn't otherwise get to attend. And we noted that the Wishes Come True Blue collection, which was launched October 22nd, 2020, has already donated $1 million from that to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which relates to 145,000 wishes being granted for trips to Disney parks. So that's heartwarming, but it's amazing as well. And we probably saw the blue merchandise. There was Loungefly bags and Crocs and dresses, t-shirts, hats, all that kind of stuff. And they did a good job of fundraising for the Wish Foundation, and I'm sure is very appreciated by these families.
Oh, that's amazing. That's great news to share. I appreciate you bringing that. I know last time we talked about arrests at Disney, so I'm glad to hear some really positive news.
Have some positive spin.
You never know what you're going to get with us, right?
Right.
Well, one thing I think is really positive I wanted to talk about and was a special memory for our family was Harmony Barbershop in Magic Kingdom is opening back up. So they will reopen on July 31st. And that is actually the last storefront on Main Street to reopen. So it's the only one currently closed. Everyone's been patiently waiting. And they will still have the My First Haircut experience, which I shared a picture on the Dove's Instagram where we took our daughter and she was the day before her first birthday, and they maybe cut 1 centimeter of hair. She was pretty bald until she was 2, but we were just determined that we were going to have that experience. So it's a great experience. They give you a set of ears, they pixie dust your child, and you can go there even if it's not your first haircut. They do all kinds of haircuts, but they are advertising with the reopening for the My First Haircut experience that they'll have extra pixie dust for the 50th anniversary. So I'm excited to see what that means. And that is now going to be bookable in the My Disney Experience app. So before you had to call Disney to book it. Sometimes they do take walk-ins, but I wouldn't bank on that if it's something on your to-do list. And starting June 28th, you'll be able to book that through the app. And so the other piece of news that came out in tandem of that, which was really just a teaser, is Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique is going to be opening later this year. I wish they would have given us a date. I have just been waiting since I had a little girl to get her in there. And, you know, it's been a couple of years since she should have been eligible and we've had to wait. So we'll wait a little longer, but I'm hoping by the fall we can see that reopen.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun memories of first hair. I shouldn't say a lot. I've only got two kids, but of getting their first haircuts in the barber shop. It's really, really neat. So now we're going to have to make another trip just to get their haircut again to see that extra pixie dust.
Wonder if they could do an older woman.
So they can, Cindy. I have seen people of all ages in there, and I was behind someone once on the Small World ride who had been in there, and she just had pixie dust. She had very short hair, and it was just all over. And I looked at her, and I said to my husband, "That's who I want to be when I grow up."
Yeah, exactly. Got to have fun.
That's right.
Talking about having fun. Sorry, go ahead.
I can double back. Okay. All right. Speaking of this summer, so fairly recently, Disney accidentally released their new Magic Band Plus. And then as soon as it came out, they yanked it from the shelves. But many bloggers out there were able to still, you know, snag one while it was very quickly on sale. The Magic Band Plus, if you haven't heard about this, it's a new version of the Magic Band. So it'll still operate as like a room key, room charging, park pass, admittance, everything like the Magic Band you may have right now. However, it's enhanced. It actually lights up. It's like reactive to shows that are going on in the parks, the special 50th statues, and you know that the golden statues for the 50th anniversary, there's going to somehow be interacting with them. Different reactions that your body makes, it's going to be able to like kind of sense those, and then the reaction you get on your Magic Band is in tune with whatever movement you may have made. Like there's a lot of different things that this Magic Band Plus is going to be able to do. They pulled it off the shelves though, said it came out too early by accident, and it'll be officially released this summer. No actual date has been given. When it was accidentally released, I want to say it was approximately like $30. I think it was 30 or 40. I feel like it was 30. I mean, when I say it was on the shelves a short while, I don't even think it was a full day. It was like on and then oops, it was out. But it sounds like it's really, really cool. For people that still have their regular Magic Bands and don't really want to have to pay those prices, worry not, because your old Magic Band is still going to work when this new one comes out.
So let's speculate a little, because I think this is so interesting that they accidentally released it. And
right?
It just so happened that a lot of the bigger bloggers got a hold of it. So, I mean, hypothetically speaking, do we think this was an accident or do we think this was a calculated move?
Right. You know, I was thinking the exact same thing. I just didn't voice it. I mean, awfully coincidental, right? That all these big bloggers and vloggers with thousands of followers all happened to get their hands on it in like the small window it was open.
Yeah. And I want to say it was accidentally, you can't see me, but I'm using air quotes, released in Disney Springs. It wasn't even an in-park experience. It just, it seems a little, as the kids would say, it's a little sus.
Yes.
A little sus.
I agree.
So you have to charge these Magic Bands Plus, right? Is that what I read?
I think I've read that too. Yeah. And I mean, and that makes sense, right? Because it's got like the electronics in it. Mm-hmm. So something's going to have to keep it juiced up. So,
yeah, I will probably get one just because resistance is futile at this point. But the thought of having just one more device to remember to charge is a little, I wish they would have figured that out.
I know, but you know, I'm probably going to do it too. And I saw on one of the, you know, sneak peeks, and there was the Walt and Mickey like partner statue, and that was all lit up like on the Magic Band itself. Mm-hmm. And that's my all time favorite statue like ever. And so I was like, well, sold.
I got you now.
Yep.
I'm a huge collector of Magic Bands, so I know that these are going to be something I'm going to love. Hopefully, they're going to be worth it. It's going to be something enough of an upgrade that it really does make a difference, because I hate the idea that I have 20 or so Magic Bands that I'll be leaving behind because I want to try the new Magic Bands Plus, but mm-hmm. we'll see. Yeah, looking forward to it anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's my turn. Still having fun. We're always having fun. But the one thing that we all agree is fun is cruising on the Disney Cruise Line. So the summer 2023 itineraries have been released. And the one interesting thing in that is that the Disney Dream is starting in early summer, is going to be home ported in Barcelona and Rome, offering 4 to 11 night voyages to various ports throughout the Mediterranean, including a first ever 7-night sailing to the Greek Isles with stops in Santorini and Mykonos. So wouldn't that be a nice Epcot vacation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If we can only figure out how to get Chris to pay us, that would be wonderful.
Mr. Big Bucks there, he'll just get out the wallet. And
yeah. Well, I thought they were going to have a 12 night too, which I've only spent 4 nights on a cruise ship. So 12 nights sounds a little daunting, but they are going to some great destinations.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds pretty exciting. It's probably not something that I'll be booking for 2023, but it's nice to know that they are moving forward with some more luxurious cruises mm-hmm. and stuff like that mm-hmm. that are more top of the line. So that's good news.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Yeah.
I would love that cruise. Oh, my goodness.
Is that your dream cruise, Jenny?
Probably. I mean, I would say really my number one bucket list cruise, honestly, is the Alaskan cruise.
Hmm.
Like, I really, really, really want to do that one. But, I mean, this one sounds amazing, too. I don't know that there's really a bad Disney cruise out there.
No. The Alaskan one just resumed. The first sailing out of Vancouver was yesterday. So they've just resumed sailing after the shutdown. So everybody's excited about that right now too.
That's awesome. I've not done Disney Cruise Line yet, but I will figure out a way.
Oh, once you sail Disney Cruise, it's hard to go back to another one.
I know.
Sounds like a good ladies trip, I think.
Ooh, I think, you know, like what? I love that idea.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to work on that.
Yeah. The Dubs Royal, you know, review. We could.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll hold it. And, yeah. Invite all the ladies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is going to be an expensive podcast by the time we're done. We're going to have Magic Bands Plus and a cruise.
Chris is going to fire us.
All right. Well, I am going to go to a somewhat, I don't want to call it exotic, but a little bit of a further destination and talk about the Avengers campus that's going to be opening in Disneyland, or excuse me, in Walt Disney Studios Park in Paris. So I am maybe a bad Disney fan. I don't follow a lot of the Paris news. So it's just, you know, every now and then I'll see something and it'll pique my interest. But what I thought was interesting is they are retheming the Rock and Roller Coaster there to be Avengers Flight Force Assemble. And it's a roller coaster now that's going from Rock and Roller Coaster to something being inspired by Iron Man. And I know there's been talk for years and years of, what are we going to do with Rock and Roller Coaster in Hollywood Studios? And, you know, I know there's IP issues with using Marvel characters in Florida, but I wonder if they'll think of something non-music themed eventually. So that was interesting. And then they're going to have, as part of the campus, training centers and meet and greet locations. And then just like out in California, they will also have that Spider-Man attraction. So the big news, I think, this week was they started to put up some of the marquees for the land and for the rethemed Rock and Roller Coasters. So we'll see how that progresses and love to hear some feedback from some listeners that get to go out to Paris.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind checking that ride out and going to Paris.
Yeah. Like I said, this is going to be an expensive podcast by the time
it is. I know. Cha-ching. So let's see. I'm going to circle back on Magic Band. So I talked about the new exciting Magic Band Plus that's coming out. And I also mentioned that the older Magic Bands are still going to work to let you in the parks, in your room, resort charging, things of that nature. But so those older Magic Bands are still for sale, and you have the option when you book a Disney Resort hotel to pre-order your Magic Bands at a discounted cost. Unfortunately, though, due to supply chain issues that are impacting everything pretty much everywhere, it's extremely limited on your pre-order options. So previously, you could go into the Disney app and you would have like a whole grid of choices, you know, all sorts of characters, some resorts, designs. And now it's kind of slim pickings and it can be tough to get one. Some people have tried going on eBay, you know, to try to buy like an unlinked Magic Band. And even there, it's costing you a pretty penny. So they're just really hard to get right now. So keep that in mind. If you have a Disney Resort hotel and you are planning on pre-ordering your Magic Bands, you might want to get on that, especially if you see a design show up that you like, because it's going to go quick.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. So I'm going to jump back to Magic Bands Plus. So have they announced, are those going to be available at a discounted price then, just as the regular Magic Bands are for resort guests?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I haven't heard that they will be.
The rumor is that they are going to be discounted $10.
Okay.
Oh.
But I haven't heard that for sure. It just is the rumor that was on the article about the Magic Bands Plus I was looking at.
Cindy with the inside scoop.
Right. I like that.
Whether it's true or not, who knows, but it's an inside scoop.
I'll take a discount.
Yeah, that's right. Hold Chapek to it, because I said.
That's right. Cindy has spoken.
Yeah, that's right. We deserve a discount. Okay, another thing that has come up this week that they've been talking about and has been getting some news is that Disney World has basically doubled down on their support of the LGBTQIA plus community with their new 2022 Pride collection that has just been released, and it's just available now at Walt Disney World. And they are donating 100% of the profits from these sales through June 30th to organizations that support LGBTQIA plus individuals. So this is they're demonstrating their support. They promised to do this. They're demonstrating support of staff and individuals in this community in the face of decisions that have been causing them some concerns lately. And this is the first collection. Now, Disney has always had the Rainbow Disney collection, but for the 2022 collection, they have actually branded it the Disney Pride collection. And it includes Star Wars and Marvel designs this year and was designed by members of the LGBTQIA plus community and their allies. So this is a huge step for Disney in their show of support for these individuals.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, I saw some photos, and I'm glad you said that the collection includes more than just the photos I saw were just really that one Mickey pose. Yeah. So I'll be excited to see what else they have.
The Star Wars hats and t-shirts they're really cute. They look really nice.
Nice.
So I think it's going to be flying off the shelf. So if you're wanting it, you better be getting in and getting it as quick as you can. So
yeah, no, that's great. So maybe not so great, depending on what kind of park ticket you have. So hot off the press, really, it just announced that Genie Plus is not going to be able to be purchased ahead of time as an add-on to your ticket. So if you are an AP holder, this isn't a big change for you. But if you are someone who buys tickets each time you go visit, you were able to previously add on Genie Plus for the length of your stay. And then you didn't have to worry about the scramble early in the morning or late at night, because I think technically you can get it after midnight. And it was just there and you can get up and book your Genie Plus. But starting June 8th, it is only going to be available for purchase on the day of your visit. So the day you have that park reservation, you will have to purchase that. And the speculation around this is really that they're doing this to potentially help with demand for Genie Plus. A lot of folks are not able to experience as many attractions as they had hoped to. I will tell you, and guys, I'd love to hear from you, but that's not been my experience when we've used Genie Plus. We've been pretty much able to book mostly everything. I mean, there's some strategy involved for sure, but they are advertising on average, you can expect to utilize it for 2 to 3 rides. And we have done far more than that every time we've used it. But we'll see how this shakes out, but definitely a game changer for those who, and if you've purchased it already as an add-on, they're going to honor that. But if you have a trip that's coming up and you were going to add it to your tickets in advance, that won't be an option after June 8th.
And I think that this is going to help Disney to plan their days as well at the parks, because mm-hmm. people were forced to buy it for the length of stay, and they mm-hmm. maybe only planned on using it at this park and that park. So even though they had it for 3 other days, they weren't planning on using it for those days, or they only used it for 1 ride. This way, if you buy it that day, they know you're using it for that day. So they're going to have a little bit more idea of what rides are going to need to be available for it.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I mean, I don't know that there's a ton of value at Epcot for Genie Plus. So,
I agree with you there. We'll see what happens. Hopefully it improves it. Mm-hmm. I'm still not a huge fan of Genie Plus, but I'll be interested to see how this plays out.
For sure.
The last thing I have is Disney Cruise Line has once again updated their COVID, policy, maybe you would consider it to be, for pre-sailing start. And this goes into effect June 7th. So if you're sailing before June 7th, this shouldn't be applying to you. Anyone that has a sail date after that, you should have received an email from Disney Cruise Line already giving you all the details. But essentially, if you are at an age that is not vaccine eligible, you need to take a test or have a test taken 3 days before arrival. And then you need to have another test done at the port before embarkation. And Disney will pay for that test if you're at an age that's not eligible for a vaccine. Vaccine-aged guests, you now, 2 days, 48 hours before arrival, you can get a test done at home, and you have until midnight, the night before you cruise, to upload your results. Now, by home, I don't mean one of your actual, at-home tests. The actual Disney guidance says the test must be a rapid antigen test professionally observed by a medical professional through a medical facility or telehealth provider. The NAAT, rapid PCR test, or lab-based PCR test. So you can't just get one from CVS, take it home and do it yourself. Now, this change is nice because it does kind of free things up at the port because, if you get a negative result, you've already uploaded it to their safe passage and it gives you the ability to board faster. However, if you do not upload your negative results by midnight before you sail, then you do have to take a test at the port. And this test, because you are old enough for the vaccine, is no longer free. Mm-hmm. So for the first test, Disney will charge you at the terminal $74 plus tax per person. If for some reason it's inconclusive and they need to test you a second time, that price increases to $125 plus tax. So it's really costly. It's in your best interest to get that test done before you arrive at the terminal. And then, you know, you're good to go.
Wow. No, that's really important for people to understand. And last time we cruised on Royal, we did the at-home tests with the telehealth. And guys, that is the way to go. Like, it is so easy. It's 15 minutes and you get your results right away. So if you are thinking, like, where am I going to get a test? Definitely check out that option. Because I want to say it was like $75 for the two tests for us. And I'm just naturally apprehensive. So I was worried about, you know, what if we do it wrong and then we don't have enough tests? But it's a very smooth process. So that's good updates, because that could get really costly at the port.
And now you're not sitting in your car waiting for a negative result, hoping they're going to allow you to board. You're going to have known a couple of days before.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing too, because I know they ran into it on the one cruise where it was delayed because they were having to remove a bunch of luggage because the whole family turned up with a negative or a positive test and weren't allowed to board, but the luggage had already been put on board. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I imagine that it must be completely nerve wracking, you know, waiting. You get all the way to the terminal, but you still don't quite know if you can board yet. So at least this does give you the peace of mind before traveling all the way there.
Yeah. Cindy?
Okay. Back on to Disney making donations. We've all been excited about the previews of the Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind ride. And I was fortunate enough through Cassandra, who was able to get previews that included myself and my daughter, to be able to ride it. It's an awesome ride. Definitely will be lining up for it if I have to ride it again. But in conjunction with the opening of that ride, they donated $100,000 to Central Florida Boys and Girls Clubs. And they also invited individuals from the organizations to ride it during the previews. So another star for Disney. That was an awesome thing to do.
Cindy, I'm so glad you've brought all of this great news for our show today. You are like the ray of sunshine in the show.
I know. Last time I was like, everybody's getting arrested. Cindy's all full of sunshine.
It's called balance, ladies.
Yeah, that's right.
I've got a few quick or two quick items to hit. Well, one really quick one that I just want to mention, because so trams are back at Magic Kingdom. They've been back for a while. So, and that's a huge parking lot. So thank you for bringing the trams back. I was surprised on my last trip to realize that they hadn't brought them back at Epcot yet. And in what is kind of a surprising move to me, they have announced that they're going to be bringing the parking lot trams back to Animal Kingdom on May 27th. And I don't know why they're doing that before Epcot, but that's what they're doing. So it's just, you can expect to be able to use them and walk a little less at Animal Kingdom if you're there after May 27th and you're parking. But maybe some bigger news to dive into, depending on if you've got a trip planned. And Cindy, maybe you'll make this part of your trip with the group. But Disneyland has announced the return of Fantasmic, dining packages. So Blue Bayou is still closed, and that was one of the traditional restaurants that offered them. But Fantasmic is going to return on May 28th, and they're offering three different packages, but two different restaurants. So you can do a package at either the Hungry Bear restaurant or Riverbell Terrace. So Riverbell Terrace has what they're referring to as a premium package. And I want to say it's $75 an adult and $45 a child. And that is the only dining package for Fantasmic where you can actually see the show from your table. So that's the game changer there. And let me tell you guys that they really pack people in for Fantasmic in Disneyland. So I can see the benefit of that. I've heard mixed reviews on the food, but I'd probably be willing to do a mediocre meal for the extra space. Riverbell also is going to offer a standard package that's a little bit cheaper. So it's $50 an adult or $30 for a child, but you can't book it in advance. So how that would work is if you have a reservation or if you're able to walk up at Riverbell that day, you then have to ask your server if that package is available. And if it is, then you can partake in that. So that was interesting to me as well, that that's kind of a pressure luck situation, if you will. And then the other one at Hungry Bear, that's a different experience altogether. So that's a grab and go package, but that one you can reserve. And just like all Disney reservation or dining reservations, is 60 days out. This one's a little more affordable. It's 35 an adult and 25 for kids, but it is a grab and go style. So it's Southern comfort food, barbecue type stuff. But between 3 p.m. and 8:30 p.m., typically, you will be able to pick up your food, and then you get a ticket or a entry to a reserved location where you can watch the show. So you can, I guess, bring your food with you and be those people that picnic and watch Fantasmic, or you can eat it somewhere and then go see the show, depending on what time. But a couple of different options there. I would shout out the Disney Tourist Blog did a great job of just covering all the different options and their thoughts on that. So if you want to go check them out, they did some great coverage, and I didn't know there were so many different options. So that was interesting for me to learn.
And I think Fantasmic coming back is going to be very popular. So oh, yeah. I think it's going to be well worth it if you can get in on one of these dining packages to not, you know, be disappointed with the, you know, this is your one opportunity to see it and it's just not what you expected it to be.
Yeah, no, I agree. And if you can't get in one of the ones you can pre-reserve and you're trying to do the same day one at Riverbell, they open at 11. Yeah. So I would say you want to shoot for that 11 o'clock reservation slot and be one of the first to be asking about it.
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm. That is great advice.
Speaking of food, do you guys want to hear about a piece of cake I had when we were in Disney last week?
I always want to hear about dessert.
So this is something I had always heard about. It's the grapefruit cake from Hollywood Brown Derby at Hollywood Studios. And this was actually our first time eating there. So we had eaten in the lounge before, but not had the cake. So I had to have the cake, had to try it out. And it was really good. I was a little... in my mind, I couldn't put together grapefruit and cake and dessert and all that kind of stuff, especially when you hear the history of it is a chef was asked to make something diet for somebody. So he made this grapefruit cake. I'm going to say it's not diet, but it's four layers of cake. It has a vanilla cream filling. And then on top of the vanilla cream on top, there is a grapefruit curd. And it's not bitter at all. It would be like kind of grapefruit you might see in the toast topping. Now I can't even think what it's called with grapefruit and oranges and lemons. Anyway, it's sweetened. It's a grapefruit curd. It's very tasty. I found it very light and refreshing. It's not a real soft cake, so it holds up more like a tort. Like you can slice a nice even slice of it and it just is a nice, it doesn't crumble or fall away. But it was really very tasty. We shared it, and it was a good thing to share because it's a fairly big piece of cake. But I would highly recommend it. It was delicious. I for desserts, I would probably give it an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
I have yet to try that, but I am very curious, and I just never seem to get around to it when I'm there. So maybe this time around.
So Jenny, I'll have to ask then, do you have a favorite dessert at Disney?
Oh, is it really possible to pick one? Like, I mean,
I mean, this is a recurring show, so you can just start with one, and then next month or next time we record, you can hit the others.
So I would say if I'm in Hollywood Studios, since that's where the grapefruit cake is, my favorite is the peanut butter and jelly milkshake at 50s Primetime Cafe. Okay. I love that milkshake.
Very good.
And those are bottomless, right? You can order as many as you want.
I don't know. I mean, they're very filling. So
I've never tried to drink eight of them.
I haven't. I do know, though, Whispering Canyon Cafe does bottomless milkshakes when their milkshake machine's working. When we were there in December, it was down and they were waiting on parts to come in. So we couldn't get the milkshakes, but we have gotten bottomless there.
Okay. I want to say they are, but I'm not a big milkshake person. So maybe we need to fact check that. We'll get an update on that.
We'll figure it out.
Somebody knows and they can leave us the answer in the comments.
Yeah,
that's right.
All right. Well, I think ladies, that's our news.
Everybody's newsed out now. You've told it all. We've had our little spilling the tea session and it's all good. Well, I just want to say what a pleasure it was to be here on behalf of myself, Cindy, and Jen, and Jenny. And I'm going to say once again, bippity boppity boo, wishing all of you pixie dust and magic until we see you again.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.